ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In favor of the winner of the unified WBC and WBO 154-pound championship of the world, the towering Inferno, Sebastian Fundora.
Well, that was not meant to go like that. That's the sound of Tim Zhu relinquishing his WBO welterweight belt in dramatic circumstances in Las Vegas, in his first ever loss. The Australian and his rangy opponent looked like extras from a gore movie as they battled through 12 rounds covered in blood in an epic bout. While it will live long in the memory, it has the capacity to alter a bright career and raises a multitude of questions surrounding the line between bravery and recklessness. How and why did Zhu take this fight on such short notice? Did his corner let him down during the bout? Will we see a rematch? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Ben Damon covers all things boxing for Main Event. If you watched the fight over the weekend, you would have seen him ringside. He's entrenched in the Australian boxing scene and was embedded with the Zhu camp. Ben, for those who missed it, can you just take us through how Tim Zhu found himself handing over his world title belt?
Yeah, it was a perfect storm, really. So Tim Zhu went into this fight a pretty heavy favourite, but you look back 12 days and he was meant to be fighting someone else, Keith Thurman, who's a vastly different opponent to the man he ended up facing in Sebastian Fundora, a freakish 6'6" giant of a man who fights as a southpaw as well. Tim Zhu, though, as the reigning WBO world champion, had the WBC belt on the line as well, and he was expected to win the fight, and it looked like he was going to for the first two rounds, but then he ran into the big fella's elbow and it cut open a huge laceration on his head, which has required 10 or more stitches since.
That's a bad cut. And of course, it happened before round four. It's urgent that Tim Zhu get something done. Right, here comes Fundora with the uppercuts, and now Fundora.
What resulted was an absolutely gruesome bloodbath where he had blood in both of his eyes, pouring all over his face and all over the ring and all over Sebastian Fundora, who himself suffered a broken nose and was damaged to the face as well. And after that point, Tim just wasn't really himself because he literally could not see his opponent.
No, it was the eyesight was gone. You know, I literally couldn't see. I had to wipe my eyes nonstop. Physically, I felt still all right. Still, it was just, yeah, you're fighting with blurry vision. It's not ideal, especially with Fundora.
The fight did go on. It was bloody and it was messy and it was really just a slugfest. Fundora tried to stay on the outside and did use a pretty effective jab. A lot of queries over why the fight wasn't stopped. It clearly should have been. The doctor failed in his duty to get in there and pull things up because Tim Zhu was in a really dangerous position. Instead, he let the fight go on and he wasn't pushed or prodded by the corner or anyone involved in the Zhu camp.
Okay, so we're going to let it go for now. Okay, all right.
So the doctor referee allowing Zhu to continue. Zhu with a 26-7 edge in power.
And unfortunately, the result turned out to be Sebastian Fundora winning the fight on points via split decision. So Tim Zhu now has no world title belts and Sebastian Fundora is the man in the division.
Yeah, you mentioned the blood, Benny. It was pretty crazy. In all your years of covering boxing, have you seen anything like that?
No, this would be the worst cut that I've ever seen in person at a boxing event. There's been some absolutely gruesome ones at times, but this was a really bad one in a really bad spot. I've spoken to some doctors since, and they say that there's a culmination of veins in that part of the head. And really, once it's opened up, there is no stopping a cut. You can stem the flow to some extent, but you're not going to stop it.
But now the crimson mask beginning to form on the face of Tim Zhu.
So Tim Zhu was essentially doing boxing braille throughout the course of this fight because he just couldn't see the man in front of him. I spoke to him immediately after the fight.
Everything was working on instinct, so I could see his shots and I was sort of eliminating him all. He was just catching me with a few jabs, a few crosses, but nothing was fazing me. It was just like again, you can't see. But look, no excuses, he won.
Clearly not a great situation to be in. Such a big moment, such a difficult fight against a really tricky opponent, and to literally not be able to see him. So, yeah, it was a disastrous turn of events, and it just turned into such a memorable but ultimately disappointing night for Australian boxing. But it's a fight we'll never forget because the blood was really quite incredible. And Fundora himself had a broken nose. And
he's bleeding bad. Fundora's bleeding bad.
Two true warriors and a lot of bravado on show, but certainly plenty of queries around why that fight was allowed to continue.
Yeah, I think anytime an athlete suffers a shock defeat, fans will scrutinise how and why we got there and the series of dominoes that fell for Tim Zhu here. I mean, I think why the public connects with him is his warrior mentality, the sort of anywhere, anytime vibe about him. But it seems as though there were a series of own goals in this bout. Why did he even take such a fight at such short notice?
Yeah, it's easy in hindsight, isn't it, to say that he shouldn't have taken this fight. He shouldn't have gone into the fight with the change of opponent and with being such a vastly different opponent to the initial fight with Keith Thurman. But for the first two rounds, it looked like he was going to stop it.
And wow, another sniper, like right, another right hand lands. And we saw Zhu looking to catch and shoot as well, Abner, but he's finding a home for the right.
He found that since the very first round and even more in this second round.
I think if the fight had continued in that vein, if the cut hadn't been sustained at the end of round two, I think he would have got him out of there in the next round or two. So it's pretty difficult to say that they made a mistake by taking this fight. They made a mistake by Tim Zhu, unfortunately, running into Sebastian Fundora's elbow. He certainly has that warrior mentality.
I took some Fundora on a week's notice. I am who I am. I'm a warrior, and this is what I do. Like, whatever, a bit of blood. A bit of blood ain't never killed nobody, let's just say that.
Yeah, he's shown that in recent years when he took all those in-between fights as he chased Jermell Charlo, who at that stage was the undisputed champion of the division. He fought fights he really didn't need to be fighting, and he continued that warrior mentality in the ring. Of course, he didn't want to stop. He would continue on if they sliced off one of his arms, Tim Zhu. He has that about him. But someone probably needed to do it for him. If not the doctor, then someone else should have been taking some steps to ensure that this fight was stopped, because if it had been stopped before the end of round four, it is a no contest. So you just play on, and Tim Zhu keeps his belt. Unfortunately, it went beyond that stage and it went right to the very end, and Tim Zhu lost on points. So it was a really unfortunate sequence of events that began with him sustaining an enormous cut and finished with a disappointing split decision loss and the loss of his world title.
Would you say his corner let him down either by failing to stop the fight or, secondly, failing to adequately deal with the head wound, as some sort of sections of the media have suggested?
And the American commentary team seems to suggest that the corner didn't have the right ointment to fix it. Were you happy with what was there?
No comment.
Yeah, I think that there's fair amounts of criticism around. I don't think they could have done anything about the cut. Maybe it could have been stopped a little bit more. The flow of blood may have been treated a bit better, but you're not going to stop that sort of cut from bleeding. So once that was clear, it's up to the doctor to pull him out to stop this fight, because there's one man who can't see in a really dangerous position, and that's his job, is to keep everyone safe, the doctor. Instead, he allowed him to go out and take unnecessary punishment for another 10 rounds of that fight. It should have been stopped straight away by the doctor.
I remember coming out, and I remember just like putting my head down like that, and it was like a fountain, just like fountain of blood coming out. I was like, okay, this can't be good.
But someone needed to get in the doctor's face. Someone in the corner perhaps should have suggested to the doctor that he should have done his job, and then Tim Zhu would have kept his belt. It would have been a disappointing night, of course, with a no contest, but you just can't fight with that much blood in your eyes, particularly in a fight of that magnitude with so much on the line. And the next step in Tim Zhu's journey, planning at that stage to be a mega fight against either Errol Spence or Terence Crawford, that could have been done again. They wouldn't have even needed to have a rematch if it had been a no contest with Sebastian Fundora. He just would have sailed on with his belt and you'd think fought against one of those guys. Instead, continued on, and it was an unfortunate and a disappointing night.
You're in the rooms with you immediately after the defeat. Can you just tell me his mindset and help us understand why this is such a serious setback for the Australian?
It was a very emotional time in the room after the fight. Tim, at one point, did address his entire team, made a bit of a speech. There were tears. He was obviously bitterly disappointed.
You can't congratulate me because I lost. If it ain't a win, then I'm not satisfied and I'm quite devastated. So it is what it is.
He was admirable in defeat and he was so brave throughout that fight. I think his star will have risen from the performance and from the attitude that we've talked about, that warrior mentality that he has, particularly in the United States, where he was headlining on pay-per-view in Las Vegas with them debuting a new network deal.
I was mainstream in Australia and my goal was to, you know, step outside of that and come here to the States.
He was meant to sail on to a really, really big money fight against one of the stars in global boxing, either Terence Crawford, who would have come up in weight to take on Tim for the WBO belt, or Errol Spence, who is affiliated with PBC and a major name in the United States. It's possible the Spence fight, if that was the way they went, could have even ended up in Australia. Crawford would have been in the US, but whatever happened, that would have been a massive money fight. He would have been the recipient of generational wealth as a result of taking part in that fight. Instead, he loses his belt. He loses the opportunity to fight against either of those guys. And now he just has to hope that Sebastian Fundora keeps to his and his promoter's word and does give Tim Zhu a rematch. So that is the hope that Tim Zhu can get back in there once he's healed and Fundora has healed. And it may take Fundora even longer than Tim Zhu to heal. He's got a cut, whereas Fundora's got a broken nose. And you wouldn't be surprised if he has other breaks in his face as well after seeing how he looked after the fight. It is a real step back in terms of earning capacity for Tim Zhu in the short term. But what hasn't fallen back is the level of admiration that the boxing public has for him. He's a star. He's a warrior. And he certainly showed that by continuing to walk into the fire on Saturday night. He hasn't lost any of the shine in the eyes of those who've been following the journey.
As you say, the Fundora camp seemed to be indicating that the rematch is on, but it seems bizarre to me that that's also not in any written contract if the dispatches from Vegas are correct. When do you think we get a rematch? Where do we potentially get a rematch?
Yeah, mixed thoughts as to whether there is anything written, whether it's a verbal agreement for a rematch or if there is something on paper. So we'll have to let that play out. The hope would be that they would have a rematch within a few months, but the problem's going to be Sebastian Fundora's recovery. He has a lot of damage. Tim Zhu, he'll heal up, and that area of the head, while it's a gruesome wound, does heal quite quickly, even though he will need to certainly look after that and stay away from getting punched in the face anytime soon. He's off in Hawaii having a holiday at the moment. But if Sebastian Fundora isn't going to be ready, it's not in Tim Zhu's nature to wait around. He might go off and have another fight in between as they wait for Fundora. Fundora, you would hope, goes through with what has been stated today by his promoter, Samson Lukovits, and does afford this rematch to Tim Zhu. But he has those lucrative options of Terence Crawford or Errol Spence as well.
I believe that I'm a promoter. I need to maximize the income of the fighter.
Who knows how it plays out between now and then, but the hope would be that in 4 or 5 months or so, Tim Zhu and Sebastian Fundora do it again, but there's plenty more to be written on that.
Ben Damon, thanks so much for breaking it all down for us.
Absolute pleasure, Pat.
Headlines. And if we're talking Tassie icons, there's some crackers on the list. Oysters, Mona, Ricky Ponting, Richard Flanagan, Ariane Titmus. You can add to that list the Jack Jumpers after they knocked over Melbourne United in the NBL Championship Series to claim their maiden title.
The Jack Jumpers, they've defended the island. Now they've conquered the mainland.
The absolute scenes for a team that is just 3 seasons old. Speaking of wild scenes, did you catch the pictures coming out of the store gift? The legendary Grass Athletics meet was delayed for hours as it bucketed with rain in Victoria and turned the track into a pond. But this event has been run since 1878, and only COVID or World War has stopped proceedings. So there was no way this wasn't going ahead. When they finally got racing, 23-year-old beach runner Chloe Mannix-Power took out the women's. Well, Jack Lacey won the men's final. A 40 grand check is not bad for a bloke who normally works as a storeman for Penguin Books. Put that in the classic section. And in the NRL, there is a buzz around the Tigers and coach Benji Marshall after they beat the Eels by a point in the final game of the round. Para captain Clint Gutherson had a penalty goal attempt after the siren to win it, just couldn't quite convert. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. I'm Patrick Stack, back on deck after going full daddy daycare mode, and I have missed the sports. Huge thanks to Poppy, Neve Owens, and our production team for holding it all down in my absence. Catch you tomorrow and throughout 2024. Thanks to Main Event and PVC for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.